Well, good morning. Once again, my name is Joshua Ong. I am a friend of Pastor Chris, and I'm very grateful and thankful for the opportunity to come and preach to you guys virtually to be able to share with you guys from God's Word this morning. I really hope one day, very soon, to be able to meet Pastor David. I am thankful and grateful that he has invited me and allowed me to share in his pulpit. I hope to be able to bring to you guys God's word and God's message. As we look around, we see that we are surrounded by a lot of different and very radical and kind of scary things that we're facing. I remember at the end of last year, as New Year's was swinging around, everyone was having these New Year's celebrations. And the theme was what? 2020, perfect vision, right? Like 2020 vision. We're gonna see what this new year brings, and we're gonna have a great year, and everything's gonna be amazing, right? I remember making plans and praying and hopeful that God would see and allow what I had hoped for and prayed for to come to fruition. And then January rolls around, and Australia is on fire. I don't know if you guys remember, right? So many things have happened and so rapidly. Australia is on fire. Then end of January, Trump's about to get impeached. And then come February, oh, at the end of January, America, we lose Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gigi in this terrible helicopter crash. And then February comes along, China and the US are at odds, are about to go to war. And then more and more news of COVID starts to come into effect, right? Like we start hearing about it more and more. And then it starts to get serious. The US finally starts to take it seriously. And then quarantine starts in March, right? And as quarantine starts, the stock market tanks. And then as that tanks, then the quarantine goes from 2 weeks to 4 weeks, and then 4 weeks to the end of May and or beginning of May. And all of these things, as this is happening, a lot of our plans, if you're in high school, if you're a senior, you might have been looking forward to prom. You might have been visiting schools and colleges in order to where you would go for next year for college. For college students, as you were graduating, you might have been worried about now, like, well, will I even, I worked so hard, I worked 4 years, now am I even going to have a graduation, right? And some of us as parents, you guys are thinking like, well, what are, man, I have to work from home, and then I also have to take care of my kids and their education. And it's just this compounding, one thing after the other, right? And we were just not prepared for it, right? This was not the 2020 that any of us envisioned. And in the midst of this, right, Ahmaud Arbery, right, the gets murdered, and then Breonna Taylor, and then George Floyd, and all of these things as this is happening, and the racial tensions in America boil over. And we saw, that he was George Floyd was murdered. And then we saw then those that were protesting, and then we saw those that use these opportunities. Oh, I don't know whether it's their anger or whatnot that they started to behave in a way that wasn't helpful to the situation. In the midst of all of that, what are we supposed to do as Christians? What are we supposed to do? Well, we're supposed to have the answer. And we look to Scripture, and if we are not careful, and we don't look to Scripture, and if we don't look carefully to Scripture, we're going to start thinking like, do we even have the answer? Is this supposed to be what, is this how are Christians supposed to be? Is this all that there is to it? Right? And so how are we as Christians supposed to live? Right? How are broken people supposed to be unified? Right? How do we do this? Right? I heard that Pastor David, as he preached last week, right? We are unified in our sins. We are unified in our sins. But praise be to God. Why? Because he's answered that sin problem. He's fixed that sin problem. There's a cure. There's an answer. His name is Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, right? He was sinless. He was, born of the Virgin Mary. He died on the cross for our sins, rose again on the third day. Now he's at the right hand of the Father, and he didn't leave us alone, right? We are now to be his ambassadors, empowered by the very Spirit of God. The Paraclete, the Helper, resides with us and in us. And so what we're going to do this morning is that I want you guys to look with me to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to look at the first 13 verses of Acts chapter 2. What we're going to see is that we're going to see the day of Pentecost. We're going to remember Pentecost. Now, it was a few weeks back that we celebrated Pentecost, but I want us to be reminded of the unifying power of the Holy Spirit. That how it is the Holy Spirit, it is the Word of God that will bring people together. Now, I hope that you will take this chance to really, really let the Word of God soak in your heart, soak in your mind, so that when our unbelieving non-Christian friends ask, hey, you're a Christian, how are you responding to these injustices? How is our nation, how is our people supposed to come back together, right? What is our unifying rallying call? What will bring us together as God's people? We're going to see that today, right? So what we're going to see then is see how God works. We're going to see how God's people are to respond to God's word. And then we're going to see how the lost respond to God's word, okay? So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 2. I'm going to read it out loud. Acts 2, beginning with verse 1, it says this: when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us, in his own native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others, mocking, said, they are filled with new wine. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we cry out to you for help. Father, we're angry, we're sad, we're outraged, we're tired. We're tired of seeing the senseless loss of life. We're tired of seeing our nation so divided. We're tired of seeing churches, families being divided by politics, being divided by our own preferences. We cry out right now. We cry out to you, save us, for you alone can heal this world. You alone can heal fractured families, fractured countries. Father, that we would be your people. Father, as we look to your word, Father, we see that you have sent salvation, that you're here to heal the root issue of all the injustices that we see. The root issue is sin. And Jesus, you have defeated and are victorious over sin. Jesus, by your obedience to the Father's will, sinners like myself have had the opportunity to become a son of God. And we can now be your children. Jesus, we thank you that by your obedience, many came to know you. May we be obedient so that many may come to know our Father today. Holy Spirit, you are our helper. You are our guide. You navigate us through all of life's challenges to tune our hearts, our minds, to be in line with Scripture, that we would be in accordance to your standards. Father, we're going to fail, but may we continue to strive to feel the leading, to feel, to know the direction of the Holy Spirit. Only in you, O God, will we have lasting and true unity. Only you can bring true healing. Father, as we look to this event at Pentecost, may we be reminded of our mission, which you have entrusted to us, that we would follow your lead, that we would be under your full influence, that we would lead the lost back to you. Help us to fight injustice with kindness and love as you did, as you showed us. So, Father, may we be hearers and doers of your word. Jesus, call out to your sheep that we might be found and return home. Holy Spirit, guide us, lead us. May we once again be your church, for we are your people. We thank you for all of these things. In Jesus' victorious name we pray. Amen. You know, as we look around, you know, I already kind of touched on this, as we look at all of the tensions, as we look at all of how broken and how divided this society is, does the church have an answer? Does God's word have an answer? Right? I think there are times that we feel that Christianity, we feel that the Bible, sometimes it kind of feels outdated because we're not digging and we're not looking at what then are the answers for us today. Is God's word still practical? Is God's word still able to heal and fix lives today? Right? If we look at all of the tensions going on in our country, but if we also spread and look at all the tensions going on around the world, right? We look at Hong Kong, we look at China, we look at Taiwan, we look at all the different cases in Southeast Asia. We look at the tension at India, the border of India. We look at the tension in North Korea. Everyone is retreating and retracting to their own nation. What are we supposed to do? How can we, as God's ambassadors, bring God's joy, God's love, God's peace to the lost and broken world? So as we look at this, you know, as we look at in Acts, I believe the first point that we see this morning is that we are to pray until God moves. We would pray until God moves, right? If you look at Acts chapter 2, as we just read in verses 1 through 4, it says that when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Now, what were they doing in one place? Well, what were they doing there, right? They were gathered together and they were praying, right? They were praying together. How do we know that they were praying? We'll jump back to Acts chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. It says, all these, with one accord, they were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about 120. So this was their normal behavior, that these 120 believers came together in order to pray. That they gathered together and they would pray and pray and pray, right? Because we see this in chapter 1. Jesus ascends into heaven, and as he ascends into heaven, he says what? Stay in Jerusalem, pray, and pray until the Holy Spirit comes, right? And so that's what they do. They pray and pray in anticipation until the Holy Spirit came, right? And so they wait. It's not passive, it's active. They were actively praying. They were expecting God to move, but they didn't rush on ahead. They waited and prayed, right? Jesus died, rose again on the third day, and then 10 days afterwards, Jesus ascends into heaven. And as these numbers, 10 days after Jesus' ascension, right, these followers of Christ, they wait and wait for 10 days until the Holy Spirit starts to move, right? As followers of Christ, there, like we saw, there was about 120 people praying and praying and praying until God moved, until the Spirit of God moves. And then boom, it happens, right? The Holy Spirit descends with the sound like a mighty rushing wind. It comes from heaven. It fills the whole house, and it divided tongues as a fire, and it rested on each and every one of them. And they began to speak in tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them. Brothers and sisters, friends and loved ones, if you want God to heal our country, if you want God to fix this nation, to fix our homes, to fix our families, to fix our country, to fix our state, guys, what we need to do is that we need to start praying for this. Now, have we actively and eagerly come to God on our knees, right? If you can be on your knees, be on your knees. But have we actively engaged God in prayer? See, I had to repent of this as I was preparing for this sermon, because there's a lot of times that the first thing that I do is I start to worry. I start to plan. I start to make strategic moves instead of saying, God, you move. Now this is not to say that for us to be lazy. This is not for us to not be prepared, but it is for us to say, God, until you give me a clear sign, I won't move. I won't go. I'm going to pray for clarity, right? Have we been actively praying? Do you guys know that on average, most churches, they'll say that the least attended church activity is prayer meeting. Some churches don't even have corporate prayer. I don't know about CCC. I haven't spent any time with you guys yet, right? But I do know in my own church previously that the least attended activity was prayer meeting. Right? Only about 5 to 10% come to prayer meeting. And we wonder why God doesn't seem like he's moving. Because we're not praying. We're not asking God to move. We're not waiting for God to do these things. But I hope that CCC is coming together to pray. Right? You know, I hope that you guys are using this time to come together and say, God, heal our land. God, help unify us. If we're not going to pray and we're not going to hear and wait for God's answer, we're not going to be doing the right thing. So pray until God moves. Right? You know, one of the positive stories that I've heard through COVID is that actually many churches right now, their prayer meeting attendance is up because they are having virtual prayer meetings, right? More people are able to attend these prayer meetings now because, one, they're quarantined, and two, instead of having to drive and commute to church, they're able to come together and come online, whether using Zoom or Google Meets or Facebook or whatever, and they're able to come together and pray together. And so there is positives, right? That they come together for virtual prayer, right? And now again, I'm not saying like, you know, that this has to happen, or if we don't have virtual prayer meetings, then, you know, people won't pray. I'm not looking at the methods. What I'm saying, what I look at scripture, what I see is that, guys, it's about the heart. Are we men and women that are actively praying and seeking God to move in our hearts, to move in our country? When was the last time we prayed for this presidency? It's too easy to criticize him. It's too easy to make fun of him because he says stuff that presidents shouldn't say. But have we prayed for him? It's easy to criticize other people. It's low-hanging fruit at this point. But the point is, as Christians, should we not be different? Should we not be prayerful? Should we not say, God, help our president because he represents our country? God, help our leaders. So, you know, reopening is one of the most criticized things that are happening in churches right now, because every pastor is struggling to, is faced and bombarded with everyone's thoughts on reopening. Have we prayed for our pastors? Have we prayed for our elders? Have we prayed for our leaders and say, hey, God, give them wisdom. Hey, God, give them strength. Hey, God, bless their families. Right? And I hope that you guys are doing this, that we pray for our school officials. Some of you guys are mad at school officials. Some of you guys are mad at your parents. Guys, have we prayed for this? When I look to Scripture, right? When I look to Scripture, what I see is that, man, God does all these incredible things. Have you read the Bible? When we read the Bible, what does God do? God brings the dead back to life. When we look to Scripture, what do we see? God, what does we see God do? God is able to rain bread from heaven. God is able to heal the sick, to heal the blind, to make the lame walk. Again and again, God does these amazing, miraculous things. And churches, guys, we're not experiencing these things. We're not experiencing revival. Why is that? Right? Is it that we worship a different God? Is it that we have a different Bible? Not at all. You see, what's happening is that God hasn't changed. God's word hasn't changed. But the way that we pray, the way that we rely on God, really has. See, we don't pray until God moves. A lot of times, I would say for myself, I plan and plan and plan, right? And then I just say, hey, God, rubber stamp my plan. I want your blessing on my plan. But when we look to Scripture, it's supposed to be the other way around. God, whatever your plans are for my life, I'm in. But it doesn't happen. So I pray, you guys, that we would be a church that prays, that we would pray until God moves, pray until God gives us a vision, pray until the Holy Spirit comes and reignites our hearts. Look at what the early church did. They were devoted to prayer. They were devoted to prayer. Would that be the word that God uses to describe your prayer life? Would that be the word that your parents or your children describe your prayer life? Are you and I devoted to prayer? You know what? Honestly, I would settle for my own life that I'm regular in my prayer. And I'm just being very honest with you guys, because prayer is a spiritual discipline that requires what? Discipline. It's not easy to sit and pray. It's not easy because our mind wanders. But I pray that, and hope that we would start to practice and work on this spiritual discipline. They were devoted to prayer, one another, and they prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and God began to move. As God starts to move, you and I, point number two then is to live as the Lord leads, right? Pray until God moves, then live as the Lord leads. As the Holy Spirit descends upon them, the Holy Spirit, like a fire, breaks off and rests on every one of them. All 120. I believe it's 120, right? Because it doesn't tell us it's just 12 people. It just says that they were up in the upper room. And then Peter is the one, that the representative that comes out to speak. But this fire, it seemed as if tongues of fire appeared and rested upon them. Now why is it just seemed as? Why is Luke, who is a doctor, not able to fully describe this? Guys, when the supernatural meets the natural, when the infinite meets the finite, guys, it's hard to describe. It should be something so amazing, so miraculous, so unique, that it's kind of like, and we can only kind of describe it. And that's what happens. He kind of describes it because human words can't describe the supernatural at work. When God moves, we see that it was both an audible noise, or the sound of rushing wind, and it was a visible sign to the believers. It changed their lives. In fact, it's a reminder of Ezekiel 37, verses 9 through 14, right? Where the breath of God awakens the valley of dry bones. And that's what we see here, right? God, his spirit rushed upon them. God's word, his wind rushed upon the 120. And they were awakened spiritually. And once they were awakened spiritually, they began to speak as the word, speak the words that the Holy Spirit had given them, right? And tongues here, I believe it's not the spiritual gift of tongues as Paul addresses in 1 Corinthians 14. I believe that it is an actual known languages. Why? Because we see this in verse 11, right? Chapter 2, verse 11, it clarifies for us. It says, both Jews and proselytes and Cretans and Arabians, what do they say? Everybody says what? We hear them telling in our own languages the mighty works of God. So they were known languages. All of these people heard their own native tongue, right? That's like, you know, if the Holy Spirit descends and, you know, if you're from different regions in China or Southeast Asia or Korea or Japan or, you know, wherever you're from, that you would hear your native tongue, right? You'd hear the home language, your hometown language. And so what happens is that when God moved, right, they prayed, they were devoted to prayer, and God moved, and then immediately they started to live the way that God wanted them to live. They lived the way the Lord was leading. Now, what do I mean by that? These 120 people, men and women, immediately became evangelists. They immediately became evangelists. Now, how do we know this? Because they didn't take any evangelism class, but what happens is that God declared, that God gave them a word, and they went out and started to tell everyone and anyone about the good news of Jesus Christ, the mighty works of God. Right? They didn't take an evangelism class. Now, I think if your church offers an evangelism class, you should take the evangelism class so that you can know how to engage with society. But at the same time, if the Holy Spirit prompts you, guys, go and evangelize. Go and share about what God is doing. Right? There's no excuses. They didn't have a set formula of sharing God's mighty works. They just shared God's mighty works. Shouldn't we be able to do that today? Hasn't God done mighty things in your life? Hasn't God done mighty things in your life, in your family's life, in your church, in your workplace? God has. God walks with you every single step, every single day. Guys, and so share that, right? Live the way that God is leading. Share what you know about Jesus, right? Share how you came to know Jesus. Share how Jesus has changed your life. All 120 men and women immediately started to live a life that was being led by the Holy Spirit. They were now evangelists, right? And who did they share the gospel with? Anyone and everyone. They didn't care where these people were from. They didn't care what they looked like. They didn't care about their socioeconomic status. They just lived lives that the Lord was leading. They spoke of God's message of peace, of hope, of reconciliation. And they did that. See, I tried to do this. I wanted to put this to the test, right? I wanted to see if this was possible. And there was a time a few months back that as I was before COVID and I asked God, I was like, God, you know, anytime that I want to live the way that you're leading. So anytime you tell me to share the gospel, I'm going to do it. And one of the days this happened a few weeks after I had prayed this. I was in line at the grocery store and God said, hey, I want you to talk to the guy in front of you. I want you to share the gospel with him. You know what would be better is that if you even paid for his groceries, you know, and that would open a way for you to share the gospel. I very clearly had that impression from the Holy Spirit. What did I do? I chickened out. You know, sad to say, sorry to say, I chickened out. I didn't do it because I said, I don't want to be that weirdo. They're gonna think I'm some weirdo, right? Like at that time I was living in New York and there's enough weirdos in New York. I don't want to be another one. That's going to off-put them. That's going to turn them off towards Christianity, right? And God, I don't have that much money, right? God, this is what I want you to do. I didn't do it. I chickened out. And I went home and I was really defeated and I was thinking like, God, I want to live the way that you want to lead me. I want to do what you're asking me to do. How come I couldn't do it? The issue then, what came to light was that I wasn't devoted to prayer, right? It's easy to say that I want to live the way that God wants to lead me. It's easy to say that this is what I want to do. But if I'm not devoted to prayer, if I'm not going to God and with my brothers and sisters praying and asking God to move, I'm not going to be able to do it. So what did I do? I gathered some of my friends, I got my brothers in Christ, and we started to pray and say, hey, you know what? Pray for me. I want to live the way that God leads. I want to live as the Lord leads. And we prayed and we started devoting ourselves and our time to praying for boldness, to pray for opportunities that would come that we might share the gospel. And it happened again. I was in line, right? And God said, hey, I want you to share the gospel. I want you to say, invite that person to church. And lo and behold, they started coming to our church. Right? It was just really, really random. And I'm not saying this will work every time, but I started to notice that it would work. It worked when I'm praying, when I'm devoted to prayer. Now, how do we get, as we look at this, right? That's what they did, right? It's not about our personality. It's not about, well, you know what, maybe this guy, then maybe the speaker is he's an extrovert. It's not about that. Guys, it's not about our personalities. It's not about our normal human nature. It's about what the Holy Spirit is doing. It's about what God is doing. And until we are devoted to prayer, guys, we won't see what God's moving. We won't see what God's doing. We won't see where God is moving. But if we're devoted to prayer and we're praying daily and we're praying together with our brothers and sisters, what will happen is that we'll start to live lives that as God leads, right? We would pray until God moves, then live as the Lord leads. The third thing that we see here is that people were perplexed until they hear the gospel, right? If we're really letting the Holy Spirit lead us, we're really letting the Holy Spirit guide and be in charge of our lives, guys, the lost will be perplexed by what we're doing. They'll be perplexed by the unity that we have. We'll be perplexed by the love that we have, right? 1 John tells us that, God tells us that they will know we are your disciples. They will know we are his disciples if we what? Love one another. Guys, it is even more pivotal of a time right now for the church to be unified amongst ourselves and to bring others into this great unity. If we lived the way the gospel calls us to live, guys, the world will be perplexed and they'll be interested, they'll be excited to hear about what God is doing. As we look at verse 5, Luke tells us that that every nation under heaven was represented in Jerusalem. Right now, is it actually every nation? Were there Chinese people there? Were there Thai people? Were there Viet people? Was there Malaysians? You know, all of these things that you know, it's saying, you know, it's a figure of speech, but I also believe that there was, in their known world, everyone was there. And it's also to show us the extent of the gospel was meant and open to everyone and anyone, right? This is most likely it was just the extent of the Jewish diaspora. Everyone in their known world was there. But scholars tell us today that all the countries that were listed, it starts, verse 9, it starts with what? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia. So I'm just going to go over this real quick, right? So today is, if you look at the Parthians, that's modern day Iran. Guys, there was Iranians at the day of Pentecost. They became Christians, right? Iran to Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia. That's all modern day central Turkey, right? Then we see Pontus, right, which is northern Turkey, right? And then Asia, the coast of Turkey. Then North Africa, Rome, Crete, Arabia, most of these people were probably Jewish people that were there, Jewish men and women, but it also includes those that were converted, right? Why do we see this? Because it talks about there were proselytes, Jews and proselytes. So it wasn't just the Jewish people. It was everyone and anyone, right? And this happens, this big hodgepodge of people, this eclectic group of Judaism followers, they didn't know what was going on. They were completely confused at why these 120 people would be speaking in their own native language, right? But they were unified. They could see that these 120 people were unified. What was their unifying factor? Peter stands up. He preaches the gospel. He preaches Christ and him crucified, right? That Jesus, sinless, came to die, right? Took on himself all of our sins. And the Father punished him. He was the propitiation for our sins. So now all sinners who claim Christ to be their his Lord and Savior, their Lord and Savior, are now, we were unified under sin, are now unified under Christ. The transferring of from sin into Christ, that has happened. So people of all nations, people of all tribes, people of all circumstances can now come together and be unified. We who were once one in our sin are now one under Christ. Amen? And so he preaches this. And so the different people, verse 37 tells us that people of different cultures, backgrounds, socioeconomic statuses, they were all unified under Christ. They were all together as one under Christ. 3,000 got saved in that first day, and the church grew and grew. Brothers and sisters, what does this mean for us today? As we look at all of these things, as we saw this story, what does this mean for us today? Guys, with all the division, the racism, xenophobia, as we look at all of this, boils down to a root issue. It's sin. Sin is the root issue. And as you guys saw last week, sin was our former unifying factor. Sin tied us all together. But today, praise be to God, it is Christ who now ties us, binds us all together with cords of love. So what are we supposed to do? Guys, I plead with you. Let's pray for our nation. Let's pray for this world. Let's pray for our families. Let's pray for our church. Pray for our parents. Young people, you know that your parents pray for you every day? Guys, when was the last time we prayed for our parents? I know a lot of times we complain about our parents, but have we prayed for them? Guys, pray until God moves. Pray until you get a vision from God's word, what God is asking us to do. Do you want to see change in our country? Do you want to see change in our state, in our world? Pray. Start praying purposefully. Start praying intentionally. Be devoted to prayer. Guys, I pray and I hope that we would be devoted to prayer. So often, I know we're devoted to social media. We wake up, and what's the first thing that we do? We check our social media. We check Facebook, Instagram. We check Some of us check Reddit. Some of us check Slick Deals. We check all of these things before going to God. We're not devoted to prayer. We're not devoted to saying, God, please move. God, please do something. We just do. Be devoted to prayer. Start praying purposefully and intentionally with your brothers and sisters, right? Be devoted to praying until God moves. After God moves, after God starts to move, then, guys, be ready to live as the Lord leads. That you would speak God's words, that you would speak the message of hope, speak the message of truth. We have the gospel. That we would live under the influence, complete influence of the Holy Spirit. You look at this, the unsaved thought that the 120 people, they thought they were drunk with new wine. Right? They thought that they were under the influence of something else. In fact, they were just under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Guys, live a way so radical, so drastic, so different that people have to say, well, what are you under the influence of? And then we can say, the Holy Spirit. Then we can say, man, I can't wait to share with you what God is doing in our lives. This gets us the opportunity to point others to Christ. So pray, guys. Be devoted to prayer. Guys, be devoted. Be ready to live the way that God is asking us to live. And in doing so, when we love one another, when we care for one another, the lost will start to say, hey, there's something different about you. Hey, there's something different about your family. And what is it? What's your secret? And then we get to say, God is at work. God is what brings us together. So I hope that we realize and see that there are people hurting out there. Pray for God to move. Live as God leads. Share the gospel to all people, to unite all people under his word, under into his kingdom. This is the hope of Pentecost, that we were once unified under sin. We are now unified under Christ. I hope that we would let the gospel be what unites us and brings us together in this broken world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we know that, God, we are in desperate need of you. God, we don't pray enough. We worry too much. We plan and we try to do things in our own way, and we try to mitigate our problems. We try to problem solve before they come into fruition. But I ask that we would now become men and women of prayer. Father, that we'd be devoted, meaning that this would be prioritized in our lives. Father, that after we start to pray, that we would be bold and live as you lead. That if it requires us to get up and speak before thousands of people, that we would. But that we would start in our backyard. That we would start with our friends down the street. That we would start with family members that are unsaved. That we would live lives that are humble. We would live lives that are sacrificial, so that others may see what is the difference. Father, that our churches would be signified by unity under Christ, that we would be under your word, that we would love one another, and that we would then show the world that they would be confused. They are confused because we are so radical and different than them. So help us, Father, that we would walk in your truth, that we'd be devoted to prayer, that we would live as you lead, and that we would openly share the gospel so that the confused world would come to know Christ and be unified under the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for all that you've done, all that you will do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.